Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Mr. Tucker, and thank you, Mr. Curcio. I'm so impressed with Mr. Tucker's concise ability to analyze the situation we're in here and articulate it so well. What a great loss to this district, losing you on this board, Mr. Tucker. It's a sin. I want to thank Governor Scott, now Senator Scott, for having appointed me twice to this board and for having the confidence in me to make the right decisions as I see them to be in the best interest of the environment and the district and our stakeholders. And that takes some balancing, and you can't please all the people all the time. The whole idea of Florida Statute 373 and how this board is appointed and how they get confirmed by the Senate was designed to protect this board from political influence. Hello, you know, we're supposed to be beyond what the politicians in Tallahassee or the politicians in Washington think. We have a fiduciary duty here. We all sworn to honor the Constitution, and we have a fiduciary duty to our stakeholders, to the environment, and to this district to do the right thing. And in my heart, I know I've done the right thing with every vote and decision I've made, and working closely with my fellow board members, I know they have too. So this whole situation with asking for the unanimous complete resignation of our board members is beyond the pale. But anyway, back to Senator Scott. Thank you for your confidence in me and my fellow board members, and best of luck to you on your election to the Senate, and we'll be watching your career carefully and look forward to your political future. A couple of other things I want to hit on in my last board comment here. You know, one of the things I've been concerned with over the years is the incredible oversight that this board gets from Tallahassee through DEP. You know, they micromanage everything we do, from major decisions we make through our budget. They want a weekly phone conference to go over our spending and our budget and our how we spend our money and what we're doing. I mean, if that's the case, if the administration wants that kind of oversight from DEP, what do they need a board for? Have the legislature change the law and run the district from Tallahassee. They try to do that now, and it's a constant battle to try and retain some kind of sovereignty for our board here. They even want to dictate how we spend our ad valorem real estate dollars. Well, I've objected to this before, because under Article 7, 1A of the Florida Constitution, the legislature nor the executive branch have the authority to levy an ad valorem tax. I guess that's the one reason that they need this board, is only the board can levy that ad valorem tax on the real estate we all own from Orlando to Key West. My question is, if they don't have the authority under the Constitution to levy an ad valorem tax, how the heck is it that they get to tell us how to spend every penny, right down to who gets raises and who doesn't? It's beyond the pale, and it's wrong, and I hope that the new administration and the new board takes that under consideration and considers getting it fixed. One of my other longtime concerns while I've been here is our O&M capital improvement budget. We are, by tiny incremental steps, improving that. But as was reflected in the audit that our Inspector General did last year, we're about $30, $35 million a year behind in what we should be spending on our infrastructure and our capital improvement to protect this 70-year-old system. I recommend to the incoming administration and the new board that they look hard at their O&M capital improvement budget and see if some improvements can't be made there to protect the system before we get a couple of back-to-back wet events and have a disaster. You know, with all the political rhetoric and environmental concerns, which are the environmental concerns are legitimate, but first and foremost, we're supposed to be a flood control district. That's a lot of times I think we lose the focus on that. Let me talk for a minute about this SB10 reservoir. You know, as I expressed earlier, if you want to get the algae out of Lake Okeechobee, you should probably be building it north of the lake. But it's not being built north of the lake. It's being built south of the lake. I wonder why that is. You know, in addition, it's another multi-billion dollar 50-50 cost share with our federal partners, Washington politicians and the Corps. In the last 18 years, since Congress passed SERP, none of the projects that they envisioned have been completed. We're spending billions and billions of dollars, but the projects are so big, and you've got the bureaucracy of Washington and the Corps that nothing ever gets completed. I mean, now to be on the threshold of entering another huge project with them doesn't make sense to me. I'd rather build smaller projects on our own, and at least we can get them done, than build huge projects which never get done. But you know what? They didn't ask me. You know, and I've said this before, people may get tired of hearing it. Albert Einstein's definition of insanity was keep making the same mistakes over and over again and expecting different results. I mean, to think that this SB10 reservoir and STA are going to be done within a few years is a fantasy, and it's because of the money. You know, the state was supposed to allocate their $800 million from Amendment 1 money, but the courts have now ruled that they can't use Amendment 1 money because the way the Amendment 1 language was drafted and passed into law, they can only use that money to improve lands that they acquire with that money. So the reservoir property was acquired years ago, and they're saying that you can't use the Amendment 1 money for our half, for the state's half of the SB10 reservoir. That decision's on appeal, but I've read the Amendment 1 language, and I happen to agree with the courts. I think the Amendment 1 money or Amendment 1 language was improperly drafted, but they didn't ask me. And the other half of the money is supposed to come from the feds. Well, the feds are behind in their 50-50 cost share with the rest of the SERP projects, anywhere from 1.2 to as much as 3 billion, depending on how you calculate it. So if they're that far behind with the rest of the major projects, what makes us think that they're going to be able to come up with the money to build their half of the reservoir, even if they agree to do it, which they haven't yet? I mean, it's mind-boggling. The other concern I've had for a number of years at this district is the compensation and the benefits for our employees. In my honest opinion, we have some of the best folks in the world working here. You know, I didn't know it or realize it when I came on board, but we really do have a world-class staff, and that goes right from the executive staff down to the blue shirts or out in the field. They all do their job, not for the paycheck, but because, believe me, it's not where it should be, but because they love the district, they love the mission, they love the environment. I've said many times that their pay scale has been woefully ignored, and that last time I did a study 2 years ago, they were about 15% behind the rate of inflation over the last 10 years. And I would ask the incoming administration and the incoming board to look real hard at the compensation packages for our employees and see if we can do the right thing by them. Finally, I want to mention why I think there's all this argument between the parties, between the environmental communities and agriculture, over what we should do and where we should go. When I first came on this board 8 years ago, I was told by some people that there's a secret agenda of the environmental community and the foundation, and that what they really want to do is destroy the ag business in the EAA and return to something they call Plan 6, where the state could acquire all of that land, not just part of it, but all of it, and return it to the river of grass. Well, I mean, that sounds good at first blush, except for all the people who live there and own property there and work in the glades and have all their families dependent on all those jobs and the food that we get from the row crops and all the other farmers. I'm not just talking about the big boys. There are 45 or 50 small family farm operations out there that need to be protected as well. And that, in my opinion, is the reason why the foundation is pressing over this lease deal, even though they were in the room in Tallahassee when the terms of the law were negotiated, and they knew the farmers, as part of their consideration for agreeing to all this, was that they could extend, we're required by law to extend that lease until such time as we're ready to get out there with bulldozers, which would be after the planning and after the design phases. Yet, even though they agreed to that when the terms of the law were drafted, when we voted to extend the lease, they got their hair on fire like we'd committed a felony when they had agreed to the terms of it when it was passed by the legislature. It's duplicitous. So what you're going to hear here as the new board comes in is buy the land. Move the water south, buy the land. And they don't mean buy the land east or west, where we need it as well. And they don't mean buy the land north. They mean buy the land in the EAA, one bite at a time, however they can, to destroy the agricultural business in the EAA. You take big hunks, 16,000 acres and other big hunks out of farming operations. Farmers operate on a scale. And when you reduce the scale, you reduce their profit, and you reduce their ability to stay in business. And it's not talked about, but I'm talking about it because I was told this 8 years ago when it came on the board, and I didn't believe it. Well, after 8 years of almost daily involvement with these topics, I believe it now. I believe that the real goal of the foundation and their minions is to destroy the agricultural business in the AAA, and I think it's wrong. I think it doesn't serve the environment. It doesn't serve the ecology, and it's not the right thing to do. And I just hope that this new administration coming in, from the governor on down to the new board, doesn't let the foundation use them as tools to accomplish that end. But you'll know I'm right if 3 months from now, 6 months from now, you start to hear that drumbeat from this board and this new administration. Buy the land, move the water south. Buy the land, move the water. If you hear that, then you'll know that Jim Moran was right and something needs to be done, because if that happens, You think Florida Crystals and U.S. Sugar are going to just give up and walk away? Hell no, they're not. They got lawyers and lobbyists. We're going to end up in litigation from now until God knows when, and it's going to impede the work that we're supposed to be doing. That's all I have to say, Mr. Chairman.